back into another episode of Cult Film Cafe Does Christmas, the series where we are taking a look at 24 Christmas films. Yeah, call us mental, we've already done a Halloween special with 30 films. This isn't that bad, seriously. It is, trust us, it is. It's quite a pain in the dish. I am Jonathan, one of the hosts, and as always, I'm joined by my partner in crime, Kenzie McLean.
Hello there.
That might be a clue, I'm guessing, to the film that we're going to talk about. But yeah, on this episode, we'll be taking a look at 1998's dark fantasy Christmas drama, Jack Frost, directed by Troy Miller.
Look for this winter's coolest video.
When you play that, no matter where I am, I can hear it.
Sometimes a promise can take on a life of its own.
I'm home.
Dad's the snowman.
No.
Michael Keaton is Jack Frost.
Get him!
What's going on?
Oh, nothing.
A father who gets a second chance to be the world's coolest dad.
You know, sometimes it's good to have a big butt.
Jack Frost. Coming to video this November.
So yeah, Jack Frost. This is a film that I vividly remember a lot about. I don't know why, I've probably watched it a ton growing up. This is a film that's right in my age demographic as a film that was probably on at Christmas time a lot. I was 9 when this film came out. So yeah, right in the sort of age bracket for this film. And it stars somebody that I wish was in a lot more cinema. Michael Keaton. Michael Keaton, if you ever listen to this podcast, you probably will never listen to this podcast, but if you somehow do, please come back to us more often. I mean, he has made a bit of a comeback. But yeah, he has made somewhat of a comeback in the last 10 or so years. But for a brief moment, it felt like he'd dropped off the face of the earth.
Yeah, it's a bit weird. I don't know what the whole site issue thing or was with Michael Keaton. It's just a whole lot of things to it, I guess. But yeah, I ended up him disappearing for a bit, which is a shame because he's a really good actor. And if you don't believe that, then watch Birdman, and then you will be proven wrong.
Or Spotlight. He's pretty good in Spotlight.
Spotlight as well, yeah.
Or, I mean, he's got a numerous kind of older films that he's good in, you know. He is the OG Batman.
He's a pretty decent
people.
Batman.
Yeah, a lot of people, he is their Batman. Me included, he is my Batman.
I'm really weird. I find it really hard to choose a live action Batman. I always just go on about Kevin Conroy. Rest in peace, he's recently died, which sucks, because for me, he is the epitome of Batman, even though he only done the voice. He captures it so well, I feel like.
Oh, I mean, like, that's fair, but if we're talking about purely voice, he is on
obviously
top by
OG,
a country
yeah.
mile.
Yeah. But, like live action, I don't know.
He's not really the OG because
there was the
animated Batman came out after even the Tim Burton Batman films.
That is very true. At least
the first one, possibly even the first two. I mean, Adam West is, like, the OG live action kind of Batman come to life, but it's kind of campy, and we've already spoke about that in previous main series episodes. If you want to listen to me slate Adam West Batman, listen to the Flash Gordon episode of the main series. Speak about it there. Now, we're not here to talk about Batman, although as a segue, because Michael Keaton was Batman. We're here to talk about Jack Frost.
Yeah, this film. I've got a weird history of this film. I discovered this film once when I was quite young. I had a Freeview box in my room. I think actually I might just turned it on at one point, and it was on, and it was the hockey part. It's the part when the snowman's teaching. I think that's the part it was. It was the snowman teaching his son to how to do the shot in hockey, and I was watching it. I thought it was so cool. I was like, oh my god, it's like a loving snowman. This thing looks so cool. But then I always wondered what the film was called. I forgot what the film was called, or I never saw the name of it. And I was just like, what was that film? And I always took guesses. Was it like Snow Dad? And I eventually came up with the idea that it might be called Jack Frost. surprisingly, it actually was, which was quite funny. Yeah, so eventually...
Why would it have been called Snow Dad?
I don't know.
What a name for
I don't know.
Kenzie's got a job at naming films in the future. You know, Snow Dad.
I don't know. I was like fucking... I don't know how age I was at the time.
Oh, it's fucking brilliant. But yeah. Snow Dad. What was that film I just watched? Snow Dad.
I ended up... I think actually,
You're not wrong.
I mean, I'm not wrong.
He's a dad.
He's a snowman. I ended up seeing like the first kind of 30-40 minutes of it in high school at one point, probably near Christmas. I think it was my fourth year of high school. And I was like, oh shit, that's the film. But I never finished it. So this is actually my first full watch of the film. So yeah, it's an interesting film. I'll say that at least. I did enjoy it for what it is. I do enjoy this film. I don't know about you.
I mean, the problem is like, this is super cynical of me to say that I like this film for nostalgic reasons, but everybody's got films that pull on different strings, you know. This is one of them. And it's probably just because I vividly remember it when it was out and about, and it was probably a staple of Christmas for me for a number of years. So these kind of films do probably have a special place. Is it a good film? Hell fucking no. Like, in terms of, is it well made? Absolutely not. Like, this is like a C-minus tier movie, and that might even be being generous to some people.
It's patchy, but it does
pull on the heartstrings. Me and Kenzie were watching it together, and at the end of the film had us both welling up. It's quite sad. Like, I mean,
I can't believe this film got to me that much for a film that's not that good, and it's kind of very tongue. It's very just like kind of goofy and silly, and then the ending really. I think it's because although this film for the most part isn't really that good, I feel like some parts are. Like the first like 40-ish minutes of it, when Michael Keaton's the character is still alive, was done really well, and they actually spend much more time than I remembered with him being alive before they kill him off. But then you suddenly get to the snowman part of it, and it just suddenly becomes a bit silly, but it's still enjoyable. So when it comes to the end part, when he's got like, I don't know, the film still, although it's not that great, it still kind of works, and I think that's why. I think the start of this film especially makes it so much harder at the end to watch out of nowhere, and it kind of catches you off. It caught me really off guard. My eyes felt like they were about to explode. It was not fun. I actually think this film's all right. It's rated fucking shockingly bad for, like, I think it's a bit very harsh, to be honest. Like, the film's not great, fair, but it's not that bad. Come on. Well, there's only one place I will say this film's that bad in it, and that is its effects. Some of the effects in this film are...
Well, no, that's not fair. Like, the computer-generated effects, like the CGI
The CGI is not... No, to be honest, I don't think the CGI is that bad. Like, you can see it's CGI. It's not the CGI that really bothers me. It's the green screen effects. The background effects. They're awful.
Not come under like visual effects though?
It will still be visual effects, yeah, but
it's not CGI.
It's not. Yeah, it won't be CGI. I don't think. But that even looked bad for the time. There's parts where you can see the background is just like, this film came out in 1998. It shouldn't look this kind of bad. There's parts when in the back it looks like the same effect you would have got from Doctor No. When Bond is driving in the car, it's maybe not just that bad, but it's quite bad. Like, the background doesn't even match the colour sometimes. And there's some weird points where you look at, like, the boy compared to like the snowman behind him, and it's on like on the sledge and stuff like that, and it just looks so wrong. Just the, something's just it's, the effects just aged quite bad. Does it take you out of the film? Nah, not really. Not really. Who cares really? But it is noticeable. I will say the effects, some of the effects have aged quite badly. On the other hand though, the kind of robotic, whatever they use when the snowman is not CGI'd, I think looks great. I like it. It looks a bit simplistic and he does move kind of slow, but I think it still holds up all right.
So mate, I'm gonna blow your mind in a minute, right? You've spoke about the CGI or the green screen, or let's just bracket it as visual stroke special effects.
Okay.
Right? No, this even though this film is relatively old now, it should not look that bad. This film had a fucking astonishingly high budget. It's estimated to be between $40 and $85 million.
Really?
Shocking, I know. But on the flip side, the reason that the sort of animatronic or the puppet or whatever is really cool is because it was made by, well, it was created by Jim Henson's Creature Shop.
Oh.
So that's why it looks as good as it does.
Like, it does look
quite,
pretty good.
It's quite fun. That part of it is good. Like, whenever he doesn't look computer generated or it's any special effects, when it's practical effects, it works in this film. And they actually look quite good. I actually quite like them. And obviously Jim Henson's probably one of the most, if not the most well-known person in that department. Anyway, and he's a name that most people will be familiar with. What baffles me, though, is George Clooney was meant to be Jack Frost in this film.
I'm glad he's not.
And Sam Raimi was meant to direct it.
I would have been interested to see that. But that's because I'm a fan of Sam Raimi. I feel like it'd be a completely different film.
Sam Raimi, not the right choice. Although he is a bigger name to attach to the film, so maybe it might have turned out a bit better. He's probably a much better director than Troy Miller. Sorry, Troy, but I've looked at Troy Miller's IMDb, and yeah, it's so loads of TV stuff, like loads and loads and loads of TV stuff.
That's the thing.
Maybe like one or two feature-length films. And I think there's a lot of people out there, including myself, who are guilty of thinking that TV transitions, if you can make TV, you can make film, and it maybe turns out that it's not that easy a jump.
Yeah, it's kind of funny you bring up Troy Miller, because I said to you while watching it, oh, I keep on seeing people in this film who have been in a show that I like called Mr. Show, with Bob and David, which was a sketch comedy show in the 90s which was by Bob Odenkirk's, Saul Goodman, and David Cross, from like you see something like Arrested. People know who David Cross is. It was their sketch comedy show, and I was noticing when I was watching the film, first thing I noticed was, I'm pretty sure, and I couldn't confirm this on IMDb, but I'm pretty sure there was an advertisement on the TVs, and I'm pretty sure the voiceover of that is David Cross's voice. I couldn't figure that out from IMDb, but I then instantly, like, not even a scene later, saw someone else who was also in Mr. Show, and then later in the film saw someone else who was also in Mr. Show, and I made me go, that's peculiar. That's quite a few people, quite a few cameos of people who have also been in Mr. Show. So I went to look at Troy Miller's IMDb, and yes, he was a producer on 30 of like the 40-ish episodes Mr. Show had. So he was actually a producer on Mr. Show, and one of the sketches got turned into a movie, and he directed it, and it's called Run, Ronnie, Run. Came out in 2002. It's one of the films he directed, which has actually got okay reviews, actually, weirdly enough. He also directed Dumberer and Dumberer 2, but we're not, or whatever that's, what is that called, that terrible prequel Dumb and Dumber film that no one talks about because it's that bad. He also did that, but yeah, it was just kind of a cool thing. I just noticed these cameos, and I was wondering if he was connected to them in any way, and he was a producer on their original show that a lot of them were in. The only one there was another guy who appeared in it from Mr. Show. This might all get cut up because it's kind of me just finding out about Mr. Show. There was one guy I didn't notice in it. That was Paul F. Tompkins. He was also in it. He's a bit of a more known one from Mr. Show. He was also a cameo in this film. I just didn't spot him. So yeah. I've never really heard of this Troy Miller. He's what directed like 3 films. That's pretty much about it. And a lot of TV stuff he's produced on. Yeah. But to be honest, I think he done an alright job with this film. I can't really vouch for the other two. I need to watch Run, Ronnie, Run. I don't think I'll watch the other one. I think this is alright. Like, yeah, it could definitely probably could have been better, but it's still enjoyable. And it has Michael Keaton in it. And it has good music in it. See the Jack Frost band? They're so good.
Like they're lit, man. Yeah, do you know what it reminds me of? Like, so much of... Have you seen the newest version of A Star Is Born?
I have not. I've not even seen any version.
Mate, see when I watched that and I seen Bradley Cooper in a fucking blues rock band, that blew my fucking mind, by the way.
Really?
I was like, he could be a genuine rock star.
Was he that good?
It was so fucking good. It was so fucking good. And I'm not... I don't know if Michael Keaton sung and played harmonica in this band. But if he fucking did, he could be a fucking blues rock singer. Because the Jack Frost band are fucking incredible in this film.
Can I get that song on Spotify? I really like it, that first song. That harmonica goes hard.
I don't know. There was a CD released with music from the film. A lot of it is not the Jack Frost band, but there is 2 songs by the Jack Frost band. They don't have a hyperlink in Wikipedia, so don't know if it is the band or whatever. But they've got a song called Frosty the Snowman and Have a Little Faith. You could potentially search for them, but I know they are fucking good, man. Like I agree, but like I said, I just went off on a tangent with A Star Is Born. Anybody that's watched the new adaptation will agree with me. Bradley Cooper's fucking incredible. I was not expecting Bradley Cooper to be that good. The fucking Jack Frost band, mate, so good. Really, really good. I've got one gripe, though. I did ask Kenzie, if your second name was Frost, why the fuck would you call your son Jack? I don't get it. I don't think it's a cool move.
Yeah, maybe probably not, but I think it sounds kind of cool. That's just me. I would love to see if you can call Jack Frost. You sound cool. And yeah, I agree, though. You probably should not name children that. It's probably not a fun thing to do.
We also had a bit of a light bulb moment for Kenzie when Mark Addy, who plays, fucking, I hate this guy's name, he plays a character in this film called Mac MacArthur. And I'm like, right, come on now. Like, at least be a bit more intuitive with the names of your cast, of your characters. But anyway, and I said to him when he was on screen, oh, that's Big Robert Baratheon. He's like, no. I'm like, yes, it is indeed Mr. Robert Baratheon from
Like,
King
I recognised him. I just couldn't put who it was. And when you
he's
that,
obviously,
like, oh,
he's like fucking like 12 years younger, doesn't have a beard. Doesn't have like long hair. He does look a bit different. I quite like Mark Addy, British actor, done good, specifically in the sort of late 90s.
I found 2000s. That song on Spotify.
Did you?
Yeah, it's there. Frosty the Snowman got
fucking
it.
Fucking hell. Lovely. Yes, we will be listening to that once we have stopped the recording of the podcast. We might even, do you know what? We don't normally do that in this series. We might just stick a wee bit in.
It's so good. I recommend
because if you've not watched the film, we'll give you a wee taste of the Jack Frost band. But anyway, we've never spoken about the plot of this film at all whatsoever.
I think we've kind of said
funny.
Though,
have we?
We talked about certain aspects of it that pretty much gives it away.
Did we speak about a magic harmonica?
We did not speak about the magic harmonica. Okay,
there's elements to this sort of dark fantasy film that we haven't spoken about. Charlie builds a snowman, the sun. And his dad gives him a harmonica, which he blows in. I don't know if he makes a wish or something daft like that. Then it makes a snowman come to life, and it's obviously Michael Keaton, his dad. Yeah, that's kind of the main fantasy element to it. Then it's just basically a fucking soppy story of him wanting to keep his dad alive, even though winter's going to end at some point. But yeah, I don't know how much more I want to go into the plot. I just wanted to speak about it a wee bit, just in case nobody's seen it.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. There's no need to talk about anything else, really. I think that's pretty much summed up most, like, pretty much the whole film. It's not, like, the most complicated film ever. Nah. It's not. Overall, yeah, I think they handle a lot of parts well. I think the ending they handled really well, and I think the start of this film they handled well. It's just the kind of middle part which is done all right. So in the actual... It takes a lot longer, you think, to actually get the actual film itself to start, and then it doesn't feel like it's that long. You only get about an hour's worth of it, and it kind of goes by kind of quick, which is, I guess, that's a blessing in a way, because if this film was too long, I think that would have made this film even worse. And with it being like an all right length and how they've done it, I think it makes it work a little bit better. Like I said, it's not the greatest film ever, but it's enjoyable. I think it's a decent film, honestly. Some of the dialogue's a bit iffy, particularly from some of the children, especially the school bully, when he, one point he's like, whatever he said, it made me go, I did not like that line. What was it? Oh, eat my wieners. That's not what he said. That's definitely not what he said. He said, eat my wieners. He said something like, oh, take this, you wieners. And it's like, oh, I hated that line. It was not good. I know he's a child, but oh my God, that should have been taken. I should have been cut because I hated that. But apart from that, it was fine. Honestly, it's a harmless film. I would honestly recommend this film, just because why not? Yeah, it's not as good as a lot of other ones, but I would still recommend it. It's kind of fun. Also, every time I look at this poster, I really see that as John Cusack and not Michael Keaton. Is that just me?
What?
The poster. It really looks like John Cusack on the poster to me.
Shut up.
Really? Am I just not looking at it close enough?
That's Michael Keaton, it's not John Cusack.
Okay, I'm just not looking at it close enough, I don't think. I don't know, it looks a bit like John Cusack from this far away. I'm just picturing John Cusack, it keeps coming into my head. I don't know.
We've been talking about John Cusack a lot the day of the recording of this podcast. That's probably why he's popped up. But yeah, you know, this is just like a sweet family film. There's been some rough critic takes on it, though. Roger Ebert, famed film critic, gave the film 1 out of 4 stars, writing, "Is it possible for the Jim Henson folks and Industrial Light and Magic to put their heads together and come up with the most repulsive single creature in the history of special effects?" And I'm not forgetting the Chucky doll or the desert intestines from Star Wars. Rough. But on the flip side, Ben Falk for Empire Magazine, who's a publication that I quite like, and I have a collection of magazines and I used to buy it every month, gave the film 3 out of 5, saying, "Despite an astoundingly dodgy-looking central character, this is a children's flick that doesn't apologise for being so, and in an environment where even cartoons are stuffed full of gags purely for the grown-ups, that's remarkably refreshing." And Janet Maslin for the New York Times also gave the film a positive review. She said, "As one more Hollywood effort to look on the sunny side of fatality, Jack Frost is so sugar-coated that it makes other recent efforts in this genre look blisteringly honest. On the other hand, it's just cheerful and bogus enough to keep children reasonably entertained. And we mustn't forget that this is a film made for children."
That is very true. Although I will say that's not always an excuse to say it was made for children, so it doesn't have to be as good. But I also, at the same time, I can understand with certain humour. But I don't think it's if a film is not that good and you say it's a children's film. I know most tons of Star Wars fans use that. I don't always think that's a pass. But in this case, I think that's kind of fair. I'm kind of on the same wavelength of what the first critic you said there with the 3 out of 5. I feel like I'm round about there, but we'll see when we get to that point.
Roger Ebert was the first one who gave
Oh yeah, no, yeah, I'm overly harsh, and wow,
Well, he's kind of probably right. I mean, on a tomato meter, it's 19% Rotten Tomatoes. Audience score 40%, and IMDb a bit kind of better. It's more your kind of casual review probably. Raters is 5.4 out of 10, which is like 50%. I think this is a film that will divide people, and it all depends what you're looking for out of it. If you go in with an open mind, then you know, I'll just want something a bit Christmassy for the holiday season, you'll probably have a good time. If you're looking for the next best Christmas film of all time, then you're going to be severely disappointed.
Yeah.
I just wanted some fun facts. The amount of actors that were considered for the lead role in this film is astonishing to me. Not only was George Clooney, which I mentioned earlier, attached to the project, but he left the project to end up doing Batman and Robin. I mean, he dodged a flop to do another flop, so whatever. I mean, George, did you make a good move? I'm not quite sure.
No.
Well, I don't know. But the thing is what I'm reading is the Jim Henson's Creature Shop had designed the snowman animatronic specifically to Clooney's facial features and acting style. And see, now when I think about Jack Frost's face, I see George Clooney before I see Michael Keaton. Maybe they didn't change it. I'm not quite sure. It's just, it's quite strange. Michael Keaton, there's another weird fact. So maybe Michael Keaton is a songwriter, because he co-wrote two of the songs on the soundtrack. So maybe the Jack Frost band is Michael Keaton. Spoke about Sam Raimi already. Kurt Russell, Billy Bob Thornton, Dennis Quaid, Kevin Costner were also considered for the role of Jack Frost. Mel Gibson reportedly turned it down. Other names that were attached to it were Jack Lemmon, Harold Ramis, Danny DeVito and Tom Welling. Loads of people were up for this. But I'm actually glad that Michael Keaton took it, because I think he's got enough of both sides of the coin to make it work. Maybe others would have been nice to see as well. I'm a big Kurt Russell fan. It would have been nice to see that. Everybody else, I'm not really that enamoured by. And finally, just another one. Jake Lloyd was considered for the role of Charlie Frost. I just want to ask Kenzie on the spot, who is Jake Lloyd?
Jake Lloyd, that is familiar.
It is familiar. It should be to you.
Should it?
Famous child in a film, a mega, mega film franchise.
Mega, mega film franchise?
Yes.
And
a film came out around about this time. Technically a year later.
So like Anakin Skywalker?
Yes, he was a young Anakin Skywalker in The Phantom Menace. So he obviously had something. They were looking at him for other roles there. I don't really like the prequel Star Wars films. That's a hot take. I don't really like Star Wars in general. There's probably not that many good films.
It's not a hot take to not like the prequels, by the way. That's definitely a normal take. I also want to say that Jake Lloyd has had so much shit thrown at him for no reason. He was a decent enough actor. He was a good enough actor. He just got kind of fucked over by that role, and it completely ruined his career.
That happens with kid actors more often than not. There's very, very few that manage to traverse the path of being famous young and then still maintain some form of normality to become a sensible adult, you know.
If you read into it, it's rough. If you read into like the stuff that's happened to him, it's rough. Isn't it?
Child actors, I mean, it always seems to be the case, and it should stop, but I think it's getting better because you're getting more and more parts for child actors now, because TV's became such a major industry in terms of, you know, the crossover element. If you look at something like Stranger Things, I've not watched an episode, but you look at all the kids in that, they're all fucking flying now. I mean, and they seem to be keeping it on the ground, but you never know, in 5 years, some of them might be in the gutter. You never ever know. Some of them have only just turned 18, so it's hard to say. I suppose the most famous person will be Macaulay Culkin. You know, he's had loads of shit when he was a kid, and you know, people make a lot of things about what happened to him, and I'm like, well, I mean, if you were already a multimillionaire by the age you were 10, 11, how the fuck do you think that was going to affect you? But yeah, Jake Lloyd doesn't deserve anything negative if there's a lot said about him. He played a character in a film. The films weren't very good. I don't think it's fair if he took the brunt of it or some of it. I don't really know what Kenzie's alluding to, but it sounds as if there is some things out there that are a bit negative, and they shouldn't be. And hopefully he's been in other films recently and he's still doing good, but I'm not so sure. But anyway, we're not here to talk about Star Wars and digress on other actors. I just wanted to give you some fun facts about Jack Frost. So we spoke enough about the film. Do you want to jump into the ratings and end this podcast?
I do.
Me first, you first?
You go first this time.
Right. I just want to put this out there. Like, I'm probably going to give this film a rating that folk will be shocked by, because there's a lot of nostalgia related to this film. And people that are listeners to this podcast know that I'm normally the cynical one, and I normally rate films badly if they're bad films overall. But because this is a film made for kids and it's a kids film, we haven't really done many of these, if at all, and we'll probably do most of them on this run of podcasts for the month of December leading up to Christmas. These are the type of films that probably I would be more generous about because of the nostalgic factor that's built in. And yeah, this is just an easy, fun, family-friendly Christmas film to watch. And it has Michael Keaton in it, which is also a big draw for me even as an adult, because I absolutely love him. I think he's a phenomenal actor. And yeah, there is criticisms there. The visual stroke special effects are a bit atrocious at times. But apart from that, I'm nitpicking at effects that are 25 years old nearly. Yeah, could they have been better? Yes. Should they have been better? Yes, the budget was astronomical. But then again, that doesn't always equate to perfect CGI and perfect green screen or perfect visual and special effects. So this one's a 3. I'm just going to say it's a 3 out of 5 for me. It's probably quite high for some people based on the Rotten Tomato score and stuff like that. But for me, with all the factors built in, it's a 3 out of 5 popcorn buckets for me.
Yeah, I've got to completely agree with that. It's a 3 out of 5 for me. I think that's easy for me to say. It's an enjoyable film. It's got a lot of issues, really, but overall, it is fun, and there's some parts I think it actually does well. Like I mentioned, the start and the end of the film were surprisingly done with quite a bit of taste, I would say, that made it pay off in the end, and made the end actually genuinely, out of nowhere, like, I felt the emotion. Like, I don't know, maybe someone was cutting onions, but, like, I really felt it, and Jonathan felt the same way. That shows you, when you can get that sort of feeling from a film like this, even if it's completely unexpected, it shows you that they've done something right. As for the middle part, it's kind of fun. It's a fun snowman cutting about. It's all right. It's definitely not the best, but it's an enjoyable film. I think it's an above average film. I wouldn't give it like much more than that. For the people who are saying it's like 19%, I think they need to change what they think. They need to stop smoking what they're smoking. I really think they should check other films that are rated at that level and watch them, and then you'll see the difference. Because films that are, when you've got a film that bad, if a film's rated that low, it's really bad, and this film is not that bad. I think, come on. So for me, I actually think it's a fairly enjoyable film, and it's one that I would still recommend, even though it's not to the highest standards of a lot of other Christmas films. It's fun. Give it a watch at least once. It's kind of cool.
And so, yeah, bring the tissues, because it will tug on your heartstrings.
It will. That's the one thing. That's one doubt. Because
it catches you out of nowhere.
Surprisingly, Yeah. Surprisingly, I wasn't expecting. It's really hard to get that type of emotion out of someone. And the director managed to do this in this film, surprisingly. I think I good on him. For like a director that's not very well known, that's quite impressive. I will give him that. However, it still is only a 3 out of 5.
So there you have it. We both agree. We don't normally agree often, but we agree in this one. We both give it a 3 out of 5 popcorn buckets over here at the Cult Film Cafe podcast. So yeah, that is it for another episode of Cult Film Cafe Does Christmas. It's been a pleasure as always. And if you'd like to check out past episodes of the podcast, we have a decent sized back catalogue now. We've got around 50 episodes of varying length. So yeah, you can go and check them out if this is the first one you've jumped in and listened to and you like what you hear. Yeah, go and check us out. You can find us on all major streaming platforms where you find your podcast. Just search for Cult Film Cafe and you'll find us. And if you'd like to go and give us a wee follow over on social media, that would be grand. Also, you can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Cult Film Cafe. So yeah, it's another one of these nostalgic films. I'm guessing there'll be another couple coming up where we have our biases which swing us to a higher rating than what the consensus is. But nonetheless, we both recommend that you go out and check this film out, even if the critics say you shouldn't or the audience score says you shouldn't. It is actually quite a fun family film. So yeah, with that being said, it's a goodbye from me.
And it is my bedtime for me.
Podcast out.
I get confused, baby. I get confused, I'm so upset. I get scared, man. I get so scared I start to sweat. Still I know you the cream, you the one, you will. I'm lost in a storm, baby. Smack in the eye of a squall. Nowhere to run. Feel like my back's against a wall. Ooh, I'm somewhere in the middle. Not remotely in the center of the heart.